Have your attention. Let's take a moment or two in this lovely spot to remember the prophet who is going to come back. As a matter of fact, he probably has shown up several times already. He showed himself on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17. He was there with Peter, James, and John, and our Lord, and also with Moses. It is very possible that these are also the guys at the tomb. It's possible. It is also very possible that they're the same two guys at the Ascension. Although everybody paints pictures as though they were angels, the Bible says two men in white apparel, which is the way they usually show up. And it is possible that they are the two witnesses, because what they do, according to Revelation 11, in the beginning of the tribulation period, is to take the gospel and preach it to a remnant of Jews. At least 144,000 of them have become believers and are sealed by God to take the gospel to the entire world. So the big problem of evangelism, which is we have over 5,000 dialects still without one verse of scripture in their own language, but will be resolved in a moment of time, because God's going to pour out His Spirit on them exactly like He did on the day of Pentecost. They were able to speak in languages they did not know, nor had any knowledge of. So this fellow is quite important. Also, the Italian prophet, Malachi, he in chapter 4 said that Elijah is going to come before the Messiah. In fact, he is going to be like what we read in Isaiah 40, one who will say, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." So Elijah is coming. At the time of John the Baptist, Yeshua said, "You know, if you would believe in his message, then this is Elijah." That was a powerful point. He's not Elijah, but the point is the nation was going to reject him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But if you received him, then hey, we got an Elijah here. Very interesting. That's why every Jewish home at Passover is going to have a cup. Not one of the four cups, but another one called the cup of Elijah. They're going to save a seat for him. And near the end of the meal, they're going to send the youngest child to the door and see if he's there, because Elijah has to come. So it's all very interesting. Well, hardly any child that's been to Sunday school does not know the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Of course, the queen who's causing most of the trouble with her wicked husband Ahab is Jezebel. And in a confrontation before this, Ahab said to Elijah, "Art thou he that troubles Israel?" You know, pious, hypocritical, manipulative, wicked king. And Elijah, bold as usual, "It's not me, it's you." My translation, but you can read it. So I now want to read, beginning at verse 17 of chapter 18, about what happened here on Mount Carmel. Carmel is a mountain range, but this is the high peak that is known as Mount Carmel. You will also, after we're done, you will go up the stairs to the top, and you will see a vision of the entire valley. And there's even a big sign in the floor with arrows pointing out that shows you how far all the various cities are from this spot. 1 Kings 18, verse 17. "It came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, 'Art thou he that troubleth Israel?' He answered, 'I've not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house, you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and you followed the Baalim," worshiping Baal, Babylonian religion, by the way. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel into Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So he had a lot of information. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. The people answered not a word. Sort of like you just now. Then said Elijah unto the people, very interesting insight, listen to this. I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Actually, what he said was not true, as he will soon learn. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, cut it in pieces, lay it on wood, put no fire under it. I'll dress the other bullock, lay it on wood, put no fire under it, and call ye on the name of your gods. I will call on the name of the Lord. The God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for you are many, and call on the names of your gods, and put no fire under. They took the bullock which was given them, they dressed it, called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us! But there was no voice, nor any that answered. They leaped upon the altar which was made. These guys are going nuts. Reminds me of what goes on in Lakeland, Florida, or Toronto, Canada. It came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he's a god. Either he's talking, or he's pursuing, or he's in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after this manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. And there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. All the people came near unto him. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. He put the wood in order, cut the bullock in pieces, laid it on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice in the wood. And he said, do it the second time. They did it the second time. He said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran around the altar. He filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust, licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is God! The Lord, he is God! And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon. We drove by it, that little creek. And slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink. There's a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, He cast himself down upon the earth, put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, go up now and look toward the sea. When you get up on there, you can see. If it's a clear day, you can see the Mediterranean. He went up and looked and said, there's nothing. He said, go again seven times. It came to pass on the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind. There was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. He girded up his loins, and like Jacob, our guide, ran. Are you listening, Jacob? He ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Well, this is quite a story. Real quickly, of course, Elijah confronted Ahab about his sin and his idolatry. Jezebel. Sound familiar? Yezebaal. Total worshiper and committed to Baal. Baal and Ashtoreth. Baal, the god of fertility, of the rains, controlling agriculture. But Ashtoreth, the goddess of sex, and in her name and his name, corruption entered Israel big time. Secondly, Elijah called on the people to make a decision. You know, you got to make a decision. You know, a lot of people learn things from the Bible, but they never make a decision about it. But I read my Lord constantly telling people to decide. Make up your mind. He's either the Lord or he's not. Make up your mind. Walk away or declare him to be your Lord. Make up your mind. Third, the prophets of Baal cried to their God, but there was no answer. A lot of us are going to try everything under the sun until we realize the world is bankrupt. It has nothing to offer. Our Lord offers us forgiveness of sin, eternal life for all who will believe. Make up your mind. Then Elijah constructs an altar to the Lord. I like that. It was a little thing. He could have done anything, but it was the one that Ahab and Jezebel had knocked down. So he goes while they're all watching and rebuilds it. Don't you love the drama? It's just incredible. And then the Lord God, of course, consumes the sacrifice, thus proving that he alone is God. Hey, make up your mind. How long are you going to halt between two opinions? The people on this occasion confessed their allegiance to the only God there is. Wow. And Elijah challenged his servant to believe that rain was coming from the sea, but made him go out and look seven times. You know, remind me of his servant, Elisha, who also said to Nahum that you go wash in the Jordan River and you'll get rid of your leprosy. He said, are not the rivers of Abana and Pharphar better than all that dirty, filthy Jordan River? Sorry to prepare you for the baptism, but it isn't the greatest. Okay? So, Nahum's so ticked. But he knew he had to do it because the waters, those beautiful waters that flow from Damascus, didn't help anybody. So when he gets in the water, Elijah told him again. Elijah's into the seven mode. Seven times. Told his servant to go seven times. His servant, Elisha, now tells him, dip seven times. Can you imagine? This guy is captain of the guard. And he's sitting there in this crummy Jordan River. And he dips down, he comes up, nothing's happening. I said seven times. Can you imagine? He goes all the way to six and says, that's it. Seven times. if it doesn't happen next time. You can only imagine what he said. So Naaman goes down a seventh time and comes up and says his flesh was like a little baby's. God healed him. How long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord's God, then follow him. If Baal, then follow him. The world is going to give you nothing. They're going to take from you. Do you understand that? They're going to strip you of everything that's worthwhile. They're going to ruin your life. They're going to make you believe that none of this is true. Make up your mind. Now here's the interesting part of the story. We'll go up there. Elijah hears that Jezebel is ticked. My translation. But it's pretty strong. So he takes off. Now you know where you are, Mount Carmel, right? I mean, even to Jerusalem would be a long trip. Now, there's no cars or trains or planes, all right? But he isn't going to stop there. He's going to go all the way to Beersheba, which is the southernmost point of Israel. He isn't going to stop there. He's going to keep going, the Bible says, into the south, which is the Negev. So he's down there in the desert somewhere. Soaking. Upset. He finds a cave. It's hot down there. He found a cave. Ah, this is nice. Now God can reveal himself to me, for I am truly a mighty prophet of the Lord. You have no idea what happened on the mount. But there's no one else listening. He's just there by himself. So God sends an earthquake. But he's not in the earthquake. He sends a fire blazing away. Ah! But God's not in the fire. Has a wind coming like crazy. Ah, here he is. No, he's not there either. The Bible says it was a still small voice that said, "What are you doing here?" Don't you love that?
Yes.
What are you doing here? You know what he said? Something he said up here on this mountain. See, God blesses in spite of us, not because of us.
Yeah.
Let's get that straight. The lessons of the Bible are powerful. He's up here thinking he's going to have the big Harvest Crusade now. And, you know, I mean, he is really on top. But he made a statement. I am the only true prophet of God left. So he repeats it down in the cave. And he says, well, I'm the only one you've got left. And God says, uh-uh. There are 7,000 in Israel that haven't bowed the knee to Baal yet. Now get up out of here and go do what I tell you to do. Unbelievable. Now this great prophet of the Lord's down there in the desert, totally depressed, discouraged, waiting for God to demonstrate himself to me. God doesn't have to do that. He can just whisper in your ear right now and say, what are you doing here? Make up your mind. It's time to decide. If the Lord is who he is, then be like Thomas and fall at his feet and say, my Lord and my God. Quit compromising. The Bible says, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Are you presuming something that is not so? And are you ignoring that which is the truth? Make up your mind. Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to be here in this absolute gorgeous spot and to remember that amazing event that took place here. And God, I pray that you will help us to apply it now after all these years. While we walk and stand all over this soil on the top of this mountain, may we remember it's time to make a decision. Make up your mind. Don't vacillate between two opinions. Oh God, help us to make that decision in our own hearts, what no one else can make for us. You told us that as many as received you, your Son, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe in his name, who were born not of blood. It isn't because our parents were believers. We are not born by the will of men. Someone else cannot save us, only he can. You said we're not born by the will of our own flesh. We can't save ourselves. You tell us we have to be born of God. You told us that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You told us that it's through faith that we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. So the things we're looking at were not made out of things that already appear. They came out of nothing. You want us to believe you. You said we're born again by the incorruptible seed of the word of God that lives and abides forever. We must believe what your word says about your Son, our Savior, the only hope of the world. Thank you, Lord, for this time. In the blessed name of our Lord Yeshua, we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to go up the stairs in this little building.